this is actually a once in a lifetime opportunity to actually really reorganize your life to propel yourself when this thing turns around. And we don't know when it's going to turn around. It could be 6 months, it could be 12 months, but things will turn around.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome, everyone, to a live episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of today's very special live show. Today, my guest is someone that has been on the podcast with us for a few times and is also a regular at Elite Agent in the magazine, both in the magazine and online. So I'd like to give a big warm welcome to the studio to Pancho Matrota.
Hi there, Samantha. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing really well for a Thursday. What about you?
Yes. Well, the sun is shining and, it's a nice day outside for a walk later on.
That's it. We all woke up today, right? Everything
Absolutely.
Else is
a bonus. It's a positive day.
So for those of you that have listened to some of my previous chats with Pancho, you'll know that he's written some great stuff on mindset and influence and negotiation and peak performance, full of great advice, particularly in mindset for uncertain times. And sometimes we even call you Oprah and sometimes you don't even mind, right?
No, I don't mind at all. I'll take it as a compliment.
Absolutely. And we're very grateful to have you here today because these here are crazy times we're living in. For us, like we got on a bit of a live stream yesterday. The news cycle is just relentless at the moment, is changing over and over again. Yes. Today we're expecting more announcements as a result of the coronavirus crisis that we've all been facing, which is impacting our families, impacting health, impacting businesses, and basically impacting what's going on up here, primarily because the media, the news cycle and everything is just so relentless right now that everything's being amplified 50-fold, 100-fold. So what we're looking forward to you from you today, rather, is some great tips where we can actually sort of get back inside our heads, calm ourselves down, and get on with the job that we need to. But before we get into some tips about, you know, like calming fears and calming anxiety, both in ourselves and the people around us, you know, I'm dying to ask you the question about what's with toilet paper gate? Like, what is with, you know, everybody cleaning out the supermarkets? Because the Prime Minister yesterday said, stop it, it's not necessary. Yep. But yet everyone is still like the supermarket. My daughter works for Woolworths.
First-hand access to toilet paper then.
Well, no, we're sort of saying, no, we don't need it as much as some other people. But what is that about? Is it social proof? Is it people see other people panicking and then panic? What is it that is causing people to feel so worried about just straight supplies in the house?
Well, it's interesting how this is not only just in Australia, but worldwide. The behavior is universal. So it's not so much social proof as herd mentality. It's also our greatest psychological needs are for safety and protection. And when we don't have safety or protection, we feel the onset of pain coming in. And as we know, that pain is a very, very strong motivator for anything. And very closely linked to fear. So when everyone is operating with this fear response, this is what we're going to get. Primal emotions coming through, the things that we're actually hardwired for, that we are sometimes very powerless to respond to. And the key thing here is a lot of people think this is very irrational behavior. From my point of view, it's actually quite rational. When we feel threatened, the most rational thing is to do something to protect ourselves. It's just the way we go about doing it is perhaps we've forgotten because it's just not top of mind. It's like, I need that food to survive. And everyone is experiencing this on a worldwide basis. Can you do anything about it? Well, it's a challenge because when this fear response runs inside our head, cortisol is really running rife. And cortisol is one chemical that's fine in short bursts, but it keeps on running into us and we keep on getting into this fight response, it actually has a very counterproductive impact on our bodies. It tends to override our immune systems. So we have to be very, very careful about this. And as I say, staying calm is really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but the thing is that there is so much going on with this at the moment. Like I think I said in my post on LinkedIn, you know, like we've got people that are concerned about their kids and their education. Like, I mean, okay, I'll talk about my daughter again, double whammy. She not only works for Woolworths, but she's also going to Sydney Uni, you know, which is also one of the places that we're sort of wondering, well, you know, like, is it going to get shut down? Are classes going to go online? People are worried about how they're going to look after their family and friends working from home. I know there's probably a lot of real estate agents out there that are kind of scrambling right now to, you know, there will be some right now that are all organized and everything's in the cloud and great. Yep. But some people will be wondering about working from home. And yes, you know, like technology does allow us to get online, but it doesn't deal with some of the psychological issues of working from home, which we're going to get into. You know, and then there are some people that are probably anxious and need help. But, you know, like are too afraid to ask. I mean, and this is classic real estate industry, is that, you know, like at the moment we're still sailing through a bit of momentum from, you know, like what happened towards the end of last year. But, you know, the chances are that people are going to be a little bit unsure, you know, in 30, 60, 90 days' time. Now, not to say that people are going to stop transacting property. I don't believe that's going to happen either. And if there is a silver lining in this, I think property is, you know, a great place to be versus, say, the stock market right now. But when you've got all of this going on and it's all coming at you, and as a leader, you've probably got people coming at you as well, what are some of the fears that your clients are coming to you with right now?
Okay, if we're talking about business owners, their major fear is keeping their doors open, is managing their expenses and their overheads. I have to be very, very upfront in saying they are having conversations with people that perhaps didn't contribute as much as they could to their business. That's a reality, and you have to deal with the reality is that business owners are going to look very, very closely at everyone. I know several agencies I'm dealing with at the present moment are having very difficult conversations with some of their people, and some of those people will not have a job by tomorrow perhaps.
Oh, that is not good. Not as bad as Qantas or anything like that. But, you know, like, okay, so that's got to take a psychological toll on all, both the leader and the people around them.
Absolutely.
So how are you coaching people through that stuff?
As I said, fear is a catalyst if we use it wisely. You know, I'm going to sort of jump around here, but it's very closely linked to motivation. If we have a very strong motive, then we will take action. And we have to be really, really focused on the future at the present moment. We have to take care of the present, and we have to think about our futures very, very clearly and take very, very rational steps to safeguard ourselves, but also to be thinking about when this thing does turn around, how are we going to be positioned to hit the ground running? So the future is not all doom and gloom. There are plenty of people that I know in different businesses who are doing very well in these times, not to mention the toilet manufacturers, but the food suppliers, the manufacturing companies, the pharmaceuticals. I don't know if you've watched the banking stocks going up and down. Well, there are a ton of people in the money industry who are doing very, very well out of those fluctuations. So fear is only an inhibitor if you focus on the things that you can't do. If you don't keep your eyes open for the opportunities, you'll actually miss them. And as ScoMo said, this is once in a lifetime. It's going to happen every 100 years. This is actually a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to actually really reorganize your life to propel yourself when this thing turns around. And we don't know when it's going to turn around. It could be 6 months. It could be 12 months. But things will turn around.
Where do you see the opportunities, Pancho?
Well, the big opportunities, I feel, is that the people who upskill themselves, I think we're going to get away from those days whereby it was all about, you know, just doing the deal and not having long-term, deeper relationships with our clients. I think we're going to go into a society whereby relationships are going to be really important, contributing to those relationships and actually understanding. A lot of people talk about it in a non-important way, selling value, but value is going to become more than just doing a transaction. It's about becoming an advisor, someone that is going to be there for the long term. And I think the whole dynamic of business is going to change for the foreseeable future for every generation now. I don't think you can ever look to go back to the past, because the past is gone now. It's different.
Thinking about the future and obviously still transacting property, but perhaps yep. transacting property in a different way. And if you think about the elements of the sales cycle, you've got prospecting, and then you've got determining your value proposition, you've got the listing presentation, then you've got marketing, and then you've got customer service. So I guess, you know, in terms of prospecting, we're going to have to get good at digital marketing, right? We're going to have to get good at building relationships, you know, via the computer. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, it's coming down to your communication. You're going to have to learn to write well now. You're going to have to learn to be able to communicate and do a lot of transactions like we're doing now on FaceTime. The aspects of reading the body language is going to become a little bit more challenging. Once again, it's a challenge that needs to be overcome. How well do you communicate? How well do you enunciate your words? Do you speak properly? Communication has always been the heart of any problem in life in general. And now people need to be understood by you through this media channel. You're going to have to write certain things. So your writing skills are definitely going to have to become a lot sharper. You know, I've seen some poor quality writing coming through where people don't spell correctly, don't put the commas in. Well,
oh, me too, all the time.
Yes. And so that's going to become, and of course, you mentioned utilizing technology. You know, we're really going to have to upskill ourselves on that. I think it's the way we have to do, and we have to spend more time on doing this. The way you organize your inspections, the way you do walkthroughs with your phones to provide insights into the property is going to become a little bit more important. The way you advertise your property through all the portals is going to become even more important. And your CRM systems, customer relationship management, now that relationship management actually takes on a different importance altogether, you're going to have to actually understand your clients a lot deeper than you ever have before. No longer can you afford to let people go and treat them without the importance that they actually deserve.
Can you give a couple of tips about building relationships in a digital sense? Because that's quite different, isn't it? Like it's harder. And this is a sign of the times. You're quite right. You and I'd be sitting together in the studio right now. But yep. in order to keep that 1.5 metres of distance between the two of us, we're doing this on a webinar. That's it. And normally, you know, we'd be breaking bread and pouring tea and having a great old laugh about what we're about to talk about. And this is not a bad second, but, you know, like how do you really develop relationships with people, you know, when it's not quite face-to-face?
Well, I think we're going to have to go back into people's core values again, really understanding why they want to engage with you. Understanding motivation, understanding why people want to do certain things. And one of the questions I've got that I wrote to you is actually understanding your own motivation strategy. Now, that can be flipped into actually understanding other people's motivation strategy to sell a property, to buy a property, to rent a property. Understanding people's motivations is going to become a very, very deep topic. Because why? Because understanding motivation strategies leads to us understanding people, how they make decisions. If I give you a 1 minute overview of this, is if we look at motivation and decision making, they are very, very important for us to understand how we're dealing with people. Because if we look at people when they get motivated to do something, say if I get motivated to buy a property, to sell a property, to rent a property, whatever, I'll have a different motivation strategy around that. And I'm going to keep it really, really simple. Some people are motivated by pain. And some people are motivated by, let's just keep it very, very simple, by pleasure. So we have certain types of people that will never do anything until the pain gets bad enough for them to do something. I often liken it to prospecting. Some people won't prospect until they see their pipeline has become suddenly very, very thin. Then they are a hive of activity and they keep on doing it, then it goes back again. So if we are communicating to people, we actually need to pay a lot of attention to the language they actually use to communicate to you, because that language indicates their motivation strategy inside their head. So we're all always talking about how can we read our client. Well, when we are dealing with a person who's, say, motivated by pain, some of the behaviors they'll do is they want to avoid making decisions. They'll actually run to avoid making a decision, but these are the people that you actually need to put pressure on to make a decision. So how do we identify that? Well, is actually interesting. If we go back to the 2008 GFC, people stopped buying their luxury items. They started buying their necessities of life. So when these people communicate, they'll often say things like, I need this to happen. I need this versus I want that. So understanding what's coming at you from a communication point of view is deeper than just words have a deeper meaning. They create the reality inside our heads. And so you're dealing with people who are communicating to you in a particular type of style. And what you have to be now really, really good at is understanding what that style actually means as a communication modem, but also as their motivation strategies to actually make a decision. Because if you go in with a person who is, say, for example, very much motivated by needs and necessities, and you paint them a rosy picture, it's not going to gel. It's like negative people tend to hang out with negative people and positive people tend to hang around with positive people. So like tends to attract like. Now, I'm not saying either is right or wrong. It's just the way people are.
You just reminded me of that old expression, negative people have a problem for every solution.
Yes.
We don't want to be like that.
No, but the reality is that does this pattern change over life? It can. You'll have a certain amount of people who are totally negative all the time. And in some ways, they're not good to hang around with because they can be the negative Nellies in the office. And they can impact on the atmosphere. Well, going back to your other point, when we have negativity coming from social media, from the TV, it's going to influence our mindsets. Because on an article I wrote a long time ago, which is about how we tend to be more negative than positive. Well, we're seeing this being translated into the worldwide population about how negativity is a response that gets triggered so automatically because negativity is about keeping us alive.
That's the media thing. Like, if it bleeds, it leads. That's the old expression in the newsroom.
It gets eyeballs, so, right? It gets eyeballs.
Yeah, exactly, which is, you know, like one of the reasons that we've deliberately tried not to go down that path of a lead agent, because it is much better, I think, in this industry where it's hard enough to give people a decent start to the day instead of with disaster. So say you've got a bunch of negativity around you right now. You know, how do you do the Taylor Swift and shake it off?
Shake it off? Well, one of the key things is breathing is really, really good.
Yeah.
It's a really good way to do it. But breathing and actually shaking it off, the negativity, actually can work for many, many people. It's a very good strategy of dealing with, because negativity is a feeling. Sometimes you feel it in the pit of your stomach. Sometimes you feel it in your arms and your chest area. People feel this anxiety. One of the key things is to breathe, but to move. Get out of that negative frame of mind. Go for a walk. Breathe some air. One of the fastest way to change your state, because when we are anxious or we are feeling like this, we don't breathe. And so the brain gets worried that, oh my God, he can't breathe. So let's shoot him some more cortisol, get him into an attack mode. So I always say there's three things that actually happens when we're reacting. We either attack, accommodate, or we avoid, the three A's. So you got to think really rationally, where am I at the present moment? What are the three A's? The psychologists estimate that we have anywhere between 12,000 to 80,000 negative thoughts a day. I don't know how they compiled that statistic, but I think it's pretty much on the money. Yeah. So we have to be able to rise above this negativity and deal with the situation in a very rational way. Otherwise, we succumb to it very quickly.
Yeah. So I was talking to somebody else this morning. It's interesting that you mentioned that point about exercising. You know, I was talking to someone else this morning about routine. Like, you know, like a lot of us at the moment, like, and I can tell you, like, you know, we're a little bit out of our routine, especially I can say we are here because just stuff coming in on the news and things like that. And, you know, I was talking to someone this morning who, you know, was sort of saying, well, we've been going to the pub more lately because, you know, we're just sort of thinking, well, why bother exercising or why bother staying in this when, you know, like everything sort of, you know, seems to be negative around us.
Yep.
But in fact, you know, what this person said is that it's more important than ever to stay in your routine right now, like whether it's exercising or whether it's some other healthy habit that you've got a hold of, because that actually gives you a bit more control over your own self and your own environment. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I mean, routines are really, really important. We do need to change our routines up because that's what the reality of the situation. Keeping healthy routines. I really think this is a time to reevaluate your goals around your life, around your career, around your relationships. I do think it's a time to actually sit down and put together some actions that you can take for the next 3-6 months at least, because this is a time to be thinking forward, not going backwards. You asked me a question regarding how do we deal with the fear response and the fear feeling. Well, I think we actually have to listen to this fear response within ourselves with empathy. We want to get away from attacking this emotion, just like we're talking to a friend and we listen with empathy of what they're going through. I think it's really important that we listen with empathy to our feelings. And so we don't lose sight that we are human, but we need to start to react in a more productive, constructive manner. And that the only way we can do that is to actually start to actually like ourselves a little bit more.
Yeah, I did kick off this with saying, you know, we all woke up today, everything else is a bonus. And I think, you know, like a good bit of gratitude in your life also definitely helps. So what other tips do you have? Like what other things should we be doing right now?
As I said, the most important thing at the present moment is everyone talks about being positive, but positive for what purpose? And we need a purpose at the present moment. And one of the purposes is that we have to keep active. We have to be doing certain things all the time to feel productive. It's no point moping around. That means that you do need specific actions that you do on a daily basis. Routines are very important. Hey, there are still people who are transacting property. There are still people who are selling property. You just have to work a little. Yeah, and you still have to keep on doing certain things. You can't just sit around and go, okay, it's all doom and gloom, because then you're not going to see the silver opportunities that are actually out there at the present moment. The most important thing is up-learning ourselves. This is the time.
Yeah, so even if it's taking a step back, breathing, thinking clearly about where the opportunities might lie, whether it's, you know, like educating people better or building relationships online or providing additional bit of customer service in a digital sense, like now is the time to really start thinking about how we do things differently in the future and getting clarity around that, like, you know, rather than, you know, like worry takes up a lot of time and energy, doesn't it?
I mean, most people worry about the future, and at the present moment, I think you have to be thinking about the present moment. And when you do create your goals for the future, you've just hit the nail right on the head. There is so much that most people don't have time for to do, like to become a specialist in writing, digital media, understanding technologies, putting together your CRM, your database systems. There is so much to do that you probably didn't have the time to do because you had other things to do in your daily job. But now you have time. Now is the time to put business planning on the table, to actually figure out what are you going to do? Where are the opportunities? What target markets that you can go into? LinkedIn provides significant opportunities that if people can start to publish and start to provide information to their client database, it's a huge opportunity people aren't doing anything about.
Now's the time to take a real leadership position in your community too. You know, we posted something on our Facebook page the other day, which I reckon is the perfect letterbox drop right about now, about how you can help the community and help people that happen to be self-isolating. I might add, in a very safe way with lots of hand sanitizer. But there is a lot of things that you can do. What about resources, Pancho? Because when we talked the other day about this, you said you had some resources for people to look out for if they're, you know, like, and please, guys, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, there's plenty of people offering help. We're going to be doing some digital marketing tips over the coming weeks. We, as I said yesterday in our video, we may even bring Transform back. We're just working on that at the moment. But, you know, like, from your perspective, Pancho, I know you've got some things in front of you, so
absolutely.
Let us know where we can get a hold of them.
Okay, so a while ago, I'm making this available. It's a guidebook that I wrote on the 7 psychological mistakes salespeople make and how to fix them. And I wrote this last year as a way to handle psychological difficulties that we have around performance. Now, upon reviewing this guidebook is it can actually be applied for virtually everything. Life, relationships, health, your job. I'll make this available. If people go to our website, then we'll send them a PDF that they can share around. It has exercises that you can do on handling, creating the right mindset, developing empathy, value of self-examination, uninstalling poor habits.
Uninstalling, I like that.
Uninstalling poor habits. It's got a great deal of exercises, and it's got a couple of acronyms that I use a lot when I do my trainings with people. I've got a couple of formulas that are great ways to jog your mind if you are reacting in an emotional way. In fact, if someone gave me a tea bag, I'll show you what I mean by that. It actually happened by accident, and I'm just getting a tea bag at the present moment. And
are we actually going to have a cup of tea?
We're going to have a cup of tea. So one of the key things.
We're missing the cup of tea today.
Okay. Well, I'll be over in 6 to 10 months to make you a cup of tea. But my tea formula is, if we break down tea and go T-E-A, which is thoughts create emotions, which create actions. And the opposite is my EAT formula, which is emotions create actions, which create thoughts. So if you are feeling upset, the best thing you can do is have a cup of tea and think of what tea actually means. What are you thinking? Because it's impacting on your emotions and then it's impacting on your actions. So are you at the present moment feeling emotional, or are you having a time for a tea break? There's a whole bunch of ideas and practical skills that you can actually use in life in general on that little guidebook. And then we have a in-depth training that we offer on actually handling fear and anxiety. It's something that it's quite detailed and it will help you in many, many areas. Yeah. And we are doing it for free.
That's right. You did say for free. Yeah.
Free. So yeah. Just go to the website, put your details in, and we'll send the course through to you with all the worksheets. You can apply it at home. You can apply it in your business. You can apply it at home. It will help you to, because I spoke about those six key types of fear of change, fear of financial hardship, fear of not being liked, fear of success, fear of failure, and fear of being humiliated. It has a whole bunch of exercises around overcoming that. So we're offering it to all the people out there for no charge at all.
I think I might go download a copy myself.
More than welcome. More than welcome.
Absolutely. So for you guys, you can see the URL behind Pancho. That's frontierp.com.au. That's where to go to get Pancho's goodies, you know, which will help navigate you through, well, not just this crazy period, but also some great tips for selling, listing, yeah, building relationships with people, which, of course, is changing by the minute. Pancho, look, it's been, obviously, I love our catch-ups. I'm very sad that this one's not in person. And this is actually the first live podcast that we've ever recorded, I think. So, you know, you're first with that. If there was one thing that you would like people to remember as a result of listening in today, what would that be?
Don't let fear paralyze you at all. Let it be the catalyst for change. Continue doing the things that you should be doing with your family, exercising. And the most important thing, this is the time for self-development. This is the perfect time to upskill yourself across digital marketing, around writing, about communicating, because this is going to become really important on how well you actually write. This is going to be a medium for communicating more and more. Upskill yourself, so when times do turn around, and they will turn around, you're going to be someone who's valued from an employer's point of view. And if you're in your own business, you're going to be able to profit from this. Every adversity has a silver lining.
Mm. Well, yeah, every crisis also brings new opportunities, and you know, you never know what is going to pop out of this one, for sure.
Absolutely.
So long as you keep moving forward, right?
That's it. Forward momentum, never keep dwelling on the past.
All right, well, guys, thank you so much for listening in. And Pancho, thank you once again. It's been a delight having you on this live stream. We will catch up with you all again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.